Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand.
We're back. It's 12 after.
And nothing.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, toll free coast to coast. I'm excited about Ron Peterson being back on the show. Ron's the president of Three Arrows Capital Corporation, which is an investment banking firm out of beautiful downtown Bethesda, Maryland, which, as you know, is hard by to our nation's capital. He's the author of a number of books, including the one I'm holding in my hand, When Venture Capitalists Say No. Ron's been an investment expert for a long, long time. He's our friend. Ron, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's just a pleasure to be here with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, Ron. And this is an important thing to talk about because, as you've heard me say before, and I know you subscribe to this notion, and that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that your basic topic, entrepreneurism, and small business is the whole gut of the U.S. economy. It seems to be getting more and more so. A new study came out just recently, which I'm sure you saw, from Babson and Wellesley, and it talked about the U.S. global entrepreneurship and what we're doing in this country. And the study noted that more than 1 in 10 working Americans were creating or growing new businesses last year. So if at least 10% of the country is actively involved, a good chunk of the remainder wants to do the same thing. So it couldn't be a more important topic.
Well, there's no question about it. But there's one big problem, and that is that you can have the most wonderful, most perfect race car in the world, but if you don't have enough fuel to run that engine, you know, how many times have you and I seen a guy leading a race for hundreds of miles, but he runs out of gas at the end of, you know, a half a mile from the finish line and loses the race. And so working capital, or I should say capital, period, is the lifeblood. It's the fuel of any business, but especially small business. And so we have to really be creative about how we fund the growth of our businesses, don't we?
Yeah, and there's two parts, probably. One is how we get the money, and the other is how we use what we do get. And it's been suggested that cash management is one of the most important skills that any entrepreneur ever has, and it's one that most people are not particularly skilled in. But the focus of the book, When Venture Capitalists Say No, Creative Financing Strategies and Resources, is mostly on getting the capital so that you can start that business that you want or grow the business that you have now. And there are many parts to it. It's not only getting capital, but how you could figure your business, Jim, and how you tell your story. A lot of technological businesses, for instance, are started by scientists and engineers, many of whom have no background in sales or speech or how to express yourself.
Cash management or anything.
Yeah. So the question is, what is your story? What is your message? And in turn, how can you tell it? You can imagine sitting in an audience along with venture capitalists and the rest and having a guy get up there with his PowerPoint and try to educate the audience on a sophisticated aspect of technology, only to find later that eyes in that audience glazed over because what they're looking for is some clue about what your business really is, what your market is, what is your real story, and the technology typically isn't what excites people so much as what it can do.
Well, so are you saying then that you've got to modify your story a little bit for your audience? For example, if you're talking to your banker, you got to make sure that you ultimately and pretty quickly focus on how you're going to be able to pay them back. If you're talking to venture capitalists, you got to be able to pretty quickly and maybe get to the point of how you're going to give them an exit strategy. If you're talking to a customer, you got to talk to them about what you have to sell is going to benefit them.
Yeah, and think if you're maybe getting capital from another corporation, they may want to know how you're going to partner with them. If you're talking to business angels, you may have to note that they like to get involved with a business, so what room are you leaving for them to help control, direct, or otherwise grow? Exactly. The kind of person that you're talking to does make a difference, and one story doesn't fit all.
Mm-hmm. That's very important to understand. And you're right about that, what you said earlier, because a lot of people who are so focused on what they do, they're so locked up in the thing that they make or that they sell, that they think everybody should be just as excited as they are about the way they're plugged into all that. And the truth is, they've got a lot of different audiences, don't they?
Many different audiences, and you have to be prepared for whatever it is. I was very interested in reading your newsletter this week because you focused, your lead article was on human relations and what entrepreneurs need to do to look at as their employees to try to get them to be motivated, to make sure you maintain your very best ones, the hiring process, etc. Well, maybe those same lessons are there about how you relate to people on the outside that are potential investors for you.
Right. Yeah.
How do you get to them?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all right. Well, tell us about give us a couple of examples. All right, we know how to go to a bank, and we've talked about that. I've written about it. You and I have, I think we probably talked a little bit about it last time. We know how to do the bank thing, but I'm not sure we really know how to go after those little pots of money, those pots of capital that we just haven't ever done before, like an angel investor or like a venture capitalist. I mean, a lot of people have never get to the point where the venture capitalists say no. I mean, sometimes we just get we don't care about you.
Yeah, right. You're not. You don't get in the front door to even tell your story.
Very we don't even get a no. I mean, we'd be happy with just a no. We don't even get that sometimes.
Well, one of the things I believe is that we can have an idea about what our company really is, but unless it resonates with other people, our message isn't being heard or felt. So one of the things an entrepreneur can do is test out what his message is. Test it with friends and family. Test it with a potential market. If you've got something that you think you'll really sell, go out and do a little focus group. Heck, you could knock on the doors in your neighborhood with a thought that, look, if this thing is produced, would you really be interested in buying it or using it as a surface? What you're trying to do is to establish credibility that what you can really put together is saleable. And as we note in the book, the very first story talks about Henry Ford 100 years ago and how he started the Ford Motor Company. What he really did, as you remember, Jim, was he went out and pre-sold the cars, and that is, he showed that the cars would sell, and with that in mind, it's much easier to raise capital. Because all he was doing then was to get folks to put some money in to help manufacture what had really already been showed would work.
Stand by, Ron. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our friend Ron Peterson, the author of When Venture Capitalists Say No. When we come back, we're going to get him to give us his website and tell us where this excellent book is available. 20 after. Stay with us. Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Ron Peterson is our guest. His book is called When Venture Capitalists Say No, Creative Financing Strategies and Resources. It's an outstanding book for folks, and I think it'll give you some excellent ideas on how to get that capital that your business needs. Ron, tell us where it's available and give us your website as well.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Well, it's available on the website at www.3arrowscapital.com.
And that's the three is spelled out, right?
Yes, it is. 3arrowscapital.com.
All right. And what else will we find there on your website?
Well, we'll find stories about how entrepreneurs have been successful. And I want to cap off this, if I can, with a note about the popular movie Seabiscuit and even more the book by Laura Hilgenbrand. For those of people in the audience who have read the book, they ran across a story about how the Santa Anita racetrack got built, and that is a story for all entrepreneurs and capital. Mm-hmm. This was done in the height of the Depression in the 1930s by a dentist who had lost all his money. It was flat broke, but he had this vision about raising the $3 million that it took to build Santa Anita back then. Here he is. He's failed, no business experience whatsoever, just really a vision. And he had no money whatsoever. And what he did was to start knocking on doors and telling folks. He started in a rich neighborhood, and that was in California. One of those doors belonged to Howard, the guy who owned Seabiscuit. He listened to the story, got excited, invested, introduced him to Bing Crosby and many others who had a passion for racing, and he got his racetrack built. But he did it with nothing except passion.
Mm-hmm.
Passion and vision. But he didn't know how to tell a story, and that's what you and I were illustrating a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you know, I get one of the questions that I get asked most often, Ron, is I want to start my own business, but I don't have any money. How do I get the capital for my business? And a lot of people ask me about grants. You know, they say, where do I get a grant?
Mm-hmm.
I tell them Grant died. And so
and buried in it too.
Yeah. I mean, I know we have to practice a little tough love on this show sometimes. And when in the email that I get, I just try to let them know that if you can't come up with the way to fund the business that you're trying to create, then maybe you're not trying hard enough. Maybe it's because you're not passionate enough for it.
I think that may be part of it, because passion and vision will oftentimes cut through obstacles that kill another person.
There's no question about it. And entrepreneurs are, I'm not going to say they're better than everybody else. I mean, I might, but I'm not going to. But the thing is, I mean, they might be, even though I'm not going to say it. But the thing is they are different from other people.
Yeah, they are. They're the people willing to knock on the door.
Well, that's right. And imagine this. I mean, I remember my dad grew up in the Depression. And he said there was no money. I mean, and I've heard lots of people say that in the Depression. There was no money, you know. And so for this guy you were talking about to raise $3 million in a time when most people were saying there isn't any money, obviously the truth is there was money, isn't
it? Yeah, and you remember the story of one of our most successful corporations, Hewlett and Packard, started in the depths of the Depression, too, and many others as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they had that vision, they had that energy, but when venture capitalists say no, does have 81 different sources of capital, different types of capital, to start to give people and their imaginations room in order to see what they can do.
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of newbie entrepreneurs, or budding entrepreneurs, perhaps I should say, make is, one of the mistakes they make is they think that somebody's going to give them enough money to run their business. And the truth is most businesses are not going to have enough money in the beginning, and when they're first getting started, and you just got to figure out how to run them without enough money.
Exactly. So don't assume that just because you're kind of warm for something that suddenly the coffers are going to open and you're going to get all you need. You need to marshal that money. You have to maybe break that business down into a number of segments that are fundable. And then learn how to tell that story.
Mm-hmm. And somebody's got to sell something, don't they?
Always. That never stops. It's the salesman's world.
That's one of the best ways to get funding, to get capital, either through the operation of the business or from somebody else, a banker or a venture capitalist, is to actually be able to say, we have sold, you know, 100 of these or 1,000 of these or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And maybe in your company, too, an entrepreneur is best off not always going entirely alone, but being able to partner with one or two or three other people, some of whom will lend part-time energy and skill to the company. And one of those people should be a person with a flair for sales, for marketing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the book points out that Roberts, the MIT professor, has written so many books on entrepreneurship, has showed that there's one characteristic of a successful business in this country. Usually by the number three hire, a company had a marketing person, a person who was able to put them close to what would really sell.
Yeah, somebody who could stick their hand out and say, hi, I'm Jim, how do you like me so far?
In effect, that's true. Well, your newsletter is always showing people different ways of doing this, different ways of relating to people, so I'm an eager reader of it, and I hope folks will eagerly read When Venture Capitalists Say No, too, because you do need to know about how other companies have succeeded, what other people have done, what obstacles have been removed, what creativity really can do for you out there.
Well said, and well done, too, Ron. You know how I feel about your book. And the website is 3arrowscapital.com.
Yep.
Thanks, Ron. Thank Ron Peterson, ladies and gentlemen. When venture capitalists say no, I hope you've checked that out today, folks. I got to go for this for just a few minutes. I'm going to be right back, though, with a guy named Lynn Morella right after these messages. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. It's 29 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.